I spoke about it like you knew what I was talking about. Rockwell International built the space shuttle.
Okay.
And when I started working at Rockwell, they were doing the last of the Apollo space launches, which was with Russia, and it was the Apollo Soyuz. So it was a very exciting time in our nation. The engineers that I was working with at Rockwell were working with Russians, and this opening up this new frontier of technology. And just beginning, I mean, the shuttle design was there, the contract had been awarded, but the vehicle itself had not been defined, and so I was able to work with it from the very first all the way through its maturity.
And you were working in community relations?
For a short period of time. To begin with, I worked in the engineering vellum vault filing. I mean, I was hired as a file clerk.
Uh-huh.
And started going back to school and worked in an engineering release and configuration control. And women were just beginning to demand a presence in engineering. There were women who were degreed engineers who were classified as secretaries. And we fought very hard for a technical presence for women in engineering and had the good fortune to benefit from some of that. And worked in an engineering test lab with nothing but men doing programming in machine and assembly language from computer-filled rooms. And when I left Rockwell, the shuttle had gone as far as it was going, and it didn't look like there was a commitment on the part of our country to build any more. So there was no more really future growth there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to McDonnell Douglas, which had just was expanding the C-17 program. And though I enjoyed the hardware and the technical parts of that challenge, it wasn't quite as exciting as this magnificent view we had of the development of space industrialization for the benefit of mankind. It was quite a magnificent vision. And working on a straightforward military weapons program was not quite the same.
Mm, right.
So, I like an engineering environment, I like technology, I like where people are building things that are solid, you can get your hands around. And would have stayed in that environment if those programs had not been cut and I was laid off.
Mm. Okay.
So this job with the Indian Commission was posted, and so I applied.
Okay.
And that's how I ended up here.
What do you do here now?
I'm the executive director for the Los Angeles City County American Indian Commission, and we have a 15-member commission that's five appointed by the Board of Supervisors, one from each supervisor district, five appointed by the mayor and the city council, and then five that are elected in open elections in the Indian community. We administer a block grant program which funds an emergency service shelter service network in the county, and are involved in advocacy and trying to build leadership and grassroots provisioning of services for Indians here in Los Angeles.
Okay. Can I ask you one last question? I was very curious about this one photo.
Oh my goodness.
If you could tell me about this photo.
Me and my chicken. My French grandparents lived in Bakersfield, and my mother died when I was eight, and I spent a lot of time with my Indian grandparents on the farm and with my grandparents in Bakersfield. And my grandparents had chickens, and that particular year they had a whole lot of baby chickens, and a dog got in the chicken house and killed everyone except for one. So that chicken I took and made it my pet, and it followed me everywhere. I mean, that chicken acted like a dog. And it would put your hand out and put its head so you could pet its neck.
That's Bakersfield, California?
Yes, Bakersfield, California, and that's me with my pet chicken.
What year would that have been?
Oh, I don't know, 40-something.
So it's before that your family actually moved here?
Oh, yes, yeah. It was the summertime, and my grandfather was in construction. He was one of the main contractors when China Lake was built. So I spent more than one summer out on China Lake when they were building the military facilities out there. And then he had a part of building a lot of the major construction projects in the Bakersfield, San Joaquin Valley.
What was it like then, Bakersfield?
It was wide open. I was there when the first earthquake hit in Bakersfield. That particular one when there were bricks flying all over the place. My grandfather had bought land, really what was in the outskirts of Bakersfield, out in town, built a street full of houses one at a time on the side. And I don't know, there weren't any, there were no other children around except for some cousins that would show up once in a while. They had, my grandparents had another old couple that they were friends with who owned a secondhand store, which they made a couple of $1 million off of, literally. They would come down to LA and buy church auctions out, and go back up there and sort the old clothes.
Okay, I don't want to take up any more time, so I'm going to...
Air crash. And so a year later, we sponsored a memorial powwow in Cerritos, and we brought the Comanche Gourdin Society out. Let's see, who are these guys? What does it say? Intertribal. These are all Comanches. This is my husband's uncle here, so I know they are. And this young lady was the Comanche princess. But they all, this was in a motel the night before the powwow began. And they had a prayer service there getting ready for the weekend's activities. Mm. That's my daughter. She was a Pawnee princess, homecoming princess.
How does that work when you get to...
She was selected by the Pawnee, in Pawnee, Oklahoma, by the Veterans Association to serve as their princess. So for a year she wore their banner wherever she went, powwows and other kinds of events.
And that's your husband's beadwork?
Mm-hmm.
That I see.
That's
there.
His beadwork. That's his, that's my son up there in that poster. That's his beadwork.
Wow. Your son is Walter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's from the pictures, I wasn't sure. Okay.
That's Walter. And this is Myron and Virginia Dennett Dale. This was at Rockwell. This was the first community relations event we had. He served in North Africa in World War II, came to California after the war. His wife was a matron at Sherman Indian School. That's where they met. So they retired. He retired with 39 years from Rockwell. They went back to where they began. Actually, for the first year, lived in a hogan outside of Tuhatchet in New Mexico.
So there, you knew a lot of American Indians who were working at Rockwell then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I got involved in community relations. That's what I meant about being bicultural, really. I mean, Indian employees said they'd do whatever they could to help me, but they really didn't care to be involved with non-Indian people any more than they had to. Mm-hmm. And there were people like Myron who were full blood, who had worked there many years, and maybe the people who worked with them thought they were Mexican or whatever. They didn't know what they were. Mm. They really didn't want people knowing what they were, And I got started because they had toys for tots barrels in the hallway, and we were, selling fry bread to make money for toys. And so I was saying, well, how can we get some of that too, So that's what began the Indian program there. So that particular year we had that was the first event we had. We made, I don't know, $10,000 off the power line. Started a scholarship fund.
Wow.
So you're not recording that.
I am.